SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. Absolutely wild weekend from every vantage point with everything you'd want. Controversy, upsets, the rug pulled from out and under the Rainbow Six. It had it all. We'll wade into this. And actually, in some ways, we're going to jump right in because after this quick break, this quick opening, Inhibish Ganbat is going to join us. And he's got a busy morning, but I'm so looking forward to talking to him because the upset in the awesome again and Mongolian Groom, who I've never understood the wedding funeral thing, but I loved him when he came to the Woodward. Was I smart enough to bet him Saturday night? No. Unbelievable. Mongolian Groom has really had a good middle part of the year. And we'll talk to Ganbet momentarily. Part of the story, of course, out there, Abel Cedillo and the huge, huge weekend he had. Gets his first grade one. Earlier, he had won the grade two John Henry. We'll talk to Phil D'Amato, who had a mammoth weekend himself, winning the Eddie D and the Rodeo Drive and the John Henry. Cedillo, three graded stakes because he won on Paradise Woods yesterday in the Zenyatta as well. And really, Cedillo, one of the really big jock storylines. Johnny V, heavily involved as well, of course, out at Santa Anita for opening day on Friday and sweeps the grade one two-year-old races for Bob Baffert. With eight rings, who really fought, and Bast, who was very good in the Chandelier. And then Johnny comes home and wins on Midnight Bisou, basically a place-holding performance for Mike Smith, who was busy on McKenzie. And then, of course, the Gold Cup. And the Jockey Club Gold Cup controversy is and discussion, and I, you know, controversy. I don't know what's controversial about that decision. It was a wonderful race. Vino Rosso absolutely was tremendous and did not deserve that fate. However, the biggest controversy about the DQ is not the DQ itself. The DQ, there was plenty there for bringing Vino Rosso down and putting up Code of Honor. It's just that we're so used to not having the herding violations. We're so used to not seeing them called. And that's what took people aback. I mean, plenty of people said, well, yeah, I mean, but they'll never take him down. Well, they did. And if that's what's going to be the case, and if they're going to police jocks that way for hurting and for, you know, basically impeding progress, we see it on the turns. We, you know, in New York, we're so used to it. And of course, a DQ like this sets off the tin hat portion of discussion. Oh, they favor Johnny. And they favor Shug and Ferris. You want to go in that direction? Go ahead. I don't buy that. And When it happened, I said, you know, there's enough, there's plenty here to the second bump and the third, and Ortiz going left-handed and not letting up left-handed. That enters into the equation. And for those that say, oh, Code of Honor was never going by. Right. He was never going by when there's a horse that is dragging him out two paths. Right. He's not. I mean, we've explained this a million times, and I will keep discussing it because whenever these come up, it has to be reiterated, and you can get some riders to discussion. Certainly Tony will get it. And you know, John Velasquez, who doesn't send it upstairs all that often. As he said, it was a matter of, you know, inches at the wire. And how can that activity not be enough to impede Code of Honor, you know, to get to the wire first? So the bottom line is, and the interesting sidebar that we'll obviously keep discussing, is that Code of Honor does not seem to be heading to Breeders' Cup. Very much seems to be planning on calling it a season and freshening for his four-year-old year. Meanwhile, later, out west, the other big grade one for older horses, three and ups, the Awesome Again, and all eyes on McKinsey and Higher Power to some degree, but Mongolian Groom's performance in the Pacific Classic that then saw him come to New York. We talked about it enough. I thought coming to New York and the firmer, tighter Saratoga surface that he would skip over it, and it might have been a little bit too much 2 weeks after the Pac Classic, but Inhibish Gambit freshens him and gets him ready for the Awesome Again, and he was brilliant every step under Abel Cedillo, a 110 buyer for the gelding. And Inhibish Gambit joins us now. Congratulations, Inhibish.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's so much. This was so fun, and you and the Mongolian stable, thinking back to Mongolian Saturday. And, you know, you've had a handful of horses, and they've been very good. You moved out to California a couple of years ago and fit right in. Talk about Saturday and Groom up against McKinsey.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
The race on Saturday, talk about just your feelings going in.
Okay. Oh, really, I didn't expect my horse could win this race because it was even six horses, two very good horses of America, McKenzie and Higher Power, trained by best two American trainers. I really didn't expect my horse could win, but it happened, and I was very happy.
Without a doubt. And you know, you came to New York after the Pacific Classic, and he's been in such good form. Talk about him developing.
Developing. Okay, I go to Saratoga because of, if I have a chance to win Woodward, I wanted to be invited to Japan race. Yeah, but main reason go to Saratoga. But Saratoga is very fast track, and my horse is so fast track, I think, not good. My horse likes like deep track like Santa Anita and Del Mar.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And you come back to Santa Anita, you brought him straight back, and really you didn't do very much training with him. You just, you know, just let him kind of breeze into Saturday.
Yes, he come to Saratoga very good condition, but came back from Saratoga little tired because the time was very hot, up to 100 degrees, and yep. playing, and he sweat, and I was scared, and I was training him very light, and just gave him easy job, and he is fresh and go to win.
And Abish, you used Abel Castillo, Cedillo on him in the summer in the San Diego and the Pacific Classic. This was a very impressive, obviously an impressive weekend for Cedillo. He really opened some eyes. Were you surprised he went to the lead?
But I saw the time, and time was not so fast, like 24:48, and I think it's okay if he can beat it, yeah.
What was amazing was off the turn at the top of the stretch, and he just powers away. And that was the part, you know, really McKenzie never got all that close to him. He just scooted away.
Yeah, McKenzie come two times to him, but I surprised my horse go like very easy.
Yeah,
even it looks like he's even not trying. Very calm, easy. Yeah.
Well, he made it. He made it look easy, and so did Abel Cedillo. All weekend, three graded stake wins for him, grade one and two grade twos. This horse and Mongolian Stable, this was a very modest purchase. Going back to OBS 2 years ago, and you gelded him last fall, and he just has been getting better and better.
Yes, yes. And I yield him because he was not so good, and maybe I think if we yield him, make him yield, and he maybe improve better. Yeah.
And he did.
Maybe I shouldn't do it if I know he's so good horse.
The thing is, sometimes if when you think like that, then they just never become the good horse they might be. And now, you know, now he puts himself in very nice company. And Inhibish, obviously, you win the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint with Mongolian Saturday, and you went to Hong Kong with him. You know the international racing scene very well. You didn't nominate Mongolian Groom to Breeders' Cup. So what you know, what do you want to do with him the rest of the year?
We not bred this horse. We bought 2 years old OBSL, and the former owner didn't nominate it.
Right.
And maybe we think maybe go to Breeders' Cup Classic, but we had to pay around $200,000
yes.
late nomination fee. but yesterday two people suggested a sponsor, like they pay this fee, $200,000, and after run Classic, 50-50 split plus money. Yeah.
Okay,
I will contact my owner in Mongolia. I could not contact him 2 days because his country said no, he's doing hunting, and I cannot contact him because phone not working. Maybe today I can contact him and talk about this. And I tell him I want to go with British Cup Classic because we have two good points. First is this British Cup at Santa Anita. We don't need to transport horses. He stay here, he's very calm, good. Yeah, second, he likes this track. Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. And with the figure, he put up a 110 buyer, and he's been competitive with the handicap horses through the summer. So this was not a total surprise, because he's been competitive, but the way he did it was what was surprising. So once you talk to the owner, you will consider taking someone in that would pay the $200,000.
Okay, if owner say he can pay himself, okay, we go with straight. But if he said has to pay, maybe we take some sponsor. Yeah.
I'm sure, Enibish, I'm sure you'd have plenty of people that would be interested in coming in with you to run him in the Classic. I'm sure. That makes sense. I'm sure you'll get plenty of offers that way. How many horses right now in Abish you training?
16.
So about you've always had about 12 to 16. That's been about the number that you handle.
Yeah, 12. Usually 12. But last time we have many babies. This year I have very good 2 years old. Yeah, I try to go Kentucky Derby next year if it's possible.
you got some good 2 year olds that you're excited about.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice. Well, Enibish, this, as always, a lot of fun, and everybody that remembers the Keeneland Breeders' Cup and how exciting it was with the owners and everybody that traveled from Mongolia, it's kind of exciting again. And you've gone forward, and the move to California. What moved you out to California? What appealed to you about going out there?
Okay. If I not train Mongolian Saturday, I never move to California, because when I come 3 years ago with this, sometimes it's a British Cup with Mongolian Saturday, I understand this is very nice place to train horse, because first, weather is very nice, not humidity, like 60% humidity is very nice for horses. Because when I was training in Chicago, Arlington Park, every winter I move my horse to Gulfstream Park. In Miami, even winter, in the morning, very hot and humidity, horses sweating too much, it's not good. Yeah.
I like it. Well, and you've continued to do very well, and nobody can doubt what you can do with a nice horse. And you've brought Mongolian Groom to elite level. And it's funny, you've got three graded stake wins in Enibish, and two grade ones. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to watch. We'll watch the story, and we'll see what happens if you guys take on a sponsor and take on a partner for the Classic. So a story to watch going forward. Enibish, congratulations again.
Okay, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, and of course for Abel Cedillo. An amazing day. The kid, he's got a big future.
Yeah, he's even now rising star jockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enibish Ganbat, everybody, and Mongolian Groom, who just wasn't going to be corralled by McKenzie. He just... Just every time he came to him, he just spurted away. And at 25 to 1, I was shaking my head. Great job.
That's it.
Innovish, yeah. Thank you, buddy. We'll see you out there for Breeders' Cup.
Okay, thank you. See you there.
Right. Innovish Ganbat, everybody, and the Mongolian stable. And unbelievable. A lot of fun. They talk about the world championships, right, with the Breeders' Cup, and the scene with the Mongolian stable was one of the really memorable moments in Breeders' Cup history with Mongolian Saturday. Sadio is a big part of this story because to take control of this race and go on with it like that, that's his decision because this horse had never been on the lead. That's what, like that. So, lots of other conversation to come. Didn't for those that were listening to the replay from Friday, Jay Pridman gave out Mirth, right? Didn't Jay get? Yeah, I think Jay gave out Mirth in the Rodeo Drive at $14 and change. Let's take first break here. We'll come back, reset, and talk about a lot of the other things over the weekend. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
we're back. 20 plus in, and we'll do our normal recap segment here. It was fun. I had to get Inhibish on right there. He was going to be tied up the next couple hours, so that was fun. And I'm trying to think back. I'm sure I had him for after Mongolian Saturday. Yeah, we had him on after he won the sprint. But that does make sense in this era where you have these Quicksilver partnership type arrangements. Having somebody come forward, although they did make $180,000 on the win, so the owner, that's pretty funny. The owner is hunting in Mongolia, and the phone doesn't reach. I'm sure at some point he'll return to someplace with reception, but bringing somebody in with the 200 and then splitting 50-50. In the classic, and obviously, if he's gonna run a 110 buyer, run that kind of a race, he's a major player. So we'll see how that where that goes. That was fun. Back to the weekend, and I mean, there's so much. The closing weekend at Churchill, and looking forward to talking to, really looking forward to Jimmy Baker. Here's another brilliant miscue. After all the conversation and after all the hand-wringing over a spectacular gem being taken down at Indiana, I didn't bet him either. It's unbelievable. I mean, at that point, it was late in the, it was late Saturday night already, and a little wagering fatigue was setting in, but I just looked at 9-1. I thought, I don't know why I didn't bet, but I'm so happy for Jim and Candy Baker for Spectacular Gem to win that Jefferson Cup, and he was better. He was even better in this spot than he was at Indiana. Tremendous. And who was it? I think it was DeRosa. Ed liked Mr. Freeze, right? And I'm pretty sure Marty did too, Marty McGee. And he was terrific in the ACAC. It was really good. And Dale Romans, who had a very quiet first half of the year, is really starting to roll. Mr. Freeze in that group. And nice for Robbie Alvarado. Nice for Robbie Alvarado to get a win. He's had a little bit of a off year too, and Dale gives him opportunities, but this was a nice one. And we're going to talk to Shane Wilson next after the next break. Shane Wilson's going to join us. Mosito Rojo, and this was, and this has been a nice story, because the work that he's done with this horse is really notable. And how about G-Money? Gerard Melanson coming up and winning at Churchill, the Lucas Classic. So we'll save that conversation for Shane Wilson in about 10, 15 minutes. Looking forward to this as well, because this is really a horse that he's just fine-tuned into a graded stake winner. How about that? The rest of the Santa Anita, too, we'll talk about most of it as the morning unfolds, particularly with Phil D'Amato. Those three graded stake wins, the Eddie D, and that was really good too. The two big personality horses, Pee Wee Reese and Eddie Haskell, put on a really nice pitched battle, and Pee Wee Reese prevails. The Tribal Rule. In fact, seeing Tribal Rule makes me realize too that I think both California breds. Calbreds 1-2 in the Eddie D, and we mentioned the Zenyatta win for Cedillo. Unbelievable. Paradise Woods and I think it was in the conversation with Jeff Siegel, right? About the, you know, or maybe Hammer, you know, talked about her being just kind of a switch on, switch off type, and she was good. She was very good yesterday in the Zenyatta. John Sheriffs sends out the Union Rags, Philly, to the Zenyatta win. And since we're, I mentioned the two-year-olds, we'll talk about that with Bob Baffert. 8 rings after the mishap, downstate. And he had to work at it, right? I mean, that was, there were several places, I thought, over the course of the weekend where, how about Imperial Hinton Firenze Fire, for instance? You know, they put on an incredible battle. And you can watch that Vosburgh 7 times, and you swear there's no way that Imperial Hint is winning. I mean, literally up to the wire, immediately after the wire. The only place that Imperial Hint is in front is at the wire. It was unbelievable. Really something. Firenze Fire ran great, and it gets turned away via the camera. But that was one of several of those kinds of races. And, you know, a bit surprising at considering the way that he was bet and a lot of the buildup. You know, the performance, and he came through. I mean, let's not pretend he didn't, you know, he didn't prevail and win nicely 8 rings, because he did. American Theorem was chasing, and I'm sure that Bruce Kretz and George Papa Padromo happy with the effort. Storm the Court, you know, who was sort of the forgotten horse, 20-1, and he was, of course, also involved in the Futurity incident at Del Mar, and he ends up a good third in here. Good for him, and gets black type. Nice job, David Burnson and Peter Erton. Express Train ended up fourth, and you know, he wasn't as sharp here. Went off second choice, 3-1, got bet, and just really never, you know, he sort of little past mid pack or early, and looked like he was, you know, moving late. So maybe a little added distance. So maybe we'll get a chance to talk about Express Train with John Sheriffs. Shoplifted was coming from the back, and also was sort of moving late, but never really involved. And those were the principles. So the price in there was Storm the Court, 20-1. Nobody else really significant here. Then there was the Philly race, and earlier on the card, and this was, you know, one of those places at 1-5, Bast fighting tooth and nail with Comical. This was one of the other of the you know, one of the other really good battles of the weekend. So part of the story, of course, unfortunately, on these opening 3 cards, Santa Anita, the breakdown earlier in the day, not that much earlier, but in the in that allowance in the 8th of MTEC. And I happen to know Steve Zalotis a little bit. He had horses on the East Coast. He's had horses on the East Coast with Gary. And it's very nice. I feel terrible for him and the family and for Steve Knapp. You know, as anticipated and as concerned going into this meet, that You know, any incidents would be, you know, hyper magnified. So there was the coverage that comes with it, and Stronach Management and Dr. Benson, they'll do their, you know, the work that they promise. And he had been a vet scratch, and that'll come under scrutiny too. So that certainly took away from the overall excitement of the opening weekend, and, you know, what was otherwise good, you know, particularly Friday and Saturday, good days of racing. We'll hit some other notable performances in there too, I'm sure, as the week goes on, and one of them is that maiden winner that, in fact, Simon Callahan had discussed that, Donna Veloce, 91 buyer in the debut. It was quite good. Back to Belmont. I mentioned Imperial Hint and Firenze Fire. That was terrific. How about the Lady Eli sibling, Princessa Caroline, Catsby Clay, and Runnymede? They're homebred. This one they kept. And the American Pharoah, Sacre Coeur filly, debuts smashingly. And you know, Laughable didn't run badly. The Quip sister, the full to Quip, took the lead and tried to stay with Princess Caroline late and just really couldn't. And nice performance. 9-2. Not sure how that happened. 9-2. There was also, I should mention that that Hennig firster. They were all firsters in the sixth race, but Americanus at a fat price too, 7-1. And then Midnight Bisou. No surprise. Chad Brown wins both of the two-year-old races Saturday and Sunday, the Miss Grillo and the Pilgrim. Structor, as kind of anticipated. You know, we said, don't be lulled into thinking that debut and the small fig and so forth, that there was reason to doubt the Palace Malice colt. I think this, I'm pretty sure this was Palace Malice's first graded stake win. Andesite ran very well, by the way, to be second in here. For Brad Cox. We'll probably talk to Brad, who had a good weekend, including last night winning the Oklahoma Derby with Owendale. I got a funny story to tell about that. Tina and I had gone to Springfield, the closing day at the Big E. And so we were sitting home, and I was watching the racing with one eye, and I told Tina to bet. So it's pretty funny. After missing a bunch of opportunities over the weekend, on Saturday, yeah, just an absolute throwaway action bet. Ended up pretty good. Samantha Siegel with another nice winner. That was Chantry Flats in that nightcap. And the story here, of course, potentially was Ron Paolucci's Going for Gold, who was 119-1. And I got to tell you, that was crazy. That was an absolutely insane price for a horse that was getting on the grass and had a ton of turf pedigree. And there was no reason for that horse to be that price. I used him as a C in the pick four because I thought he could move up on the grass, and he had shown speed, and they went to the front and did not look back. They basically threw down the gauntlet, and it almost worked. Jose Bracho in the ride, and they almost stole it, and it would have been an unbelievable story. As it was, the horse paid $84 to place. after being overhauled late by Chantry Flats, who, you know, kind of went right on by, won by two and change, but going for gold, 119-1. You know, look up that dam. There was no reason for that horse not to improve on the turf. And Atreides happens to be 17% himself first-time turf as a stallion. So there was plenty to like about him moving to the grass. So that was the New York Saturday. There's so much else, and that includes everything that went on in the Mid-Atlantic. And we'll get to that. We'll talk to Alan Foreman, who I think is back from Ireland, not today, but we'll probably talk to Alan tomorrow. And, of course, there's a big meeting of the Mid-Atlantic Wednesday. But the match series came to an end at Monmouth. A really nice day of racing there as well. And it was Bronx Beauty, Anthony Margada, and Paco Lopez that end up winning the overall title in the match series. And we'll go through all of that. Down at Laurel, how about Trevor McCarthy, five wins, including four stakes. That was that September to Remember card. A lot of good racing. They had a nice day at Delaware, the Governor's Cup Day, the Owner's Day, and Rodney Jenkins for Mrs. Charles, for Ellen Charles and Hillwood. Two wins with Victor Carrasco. Good old Cordmaker and Shimmering Aspen, they headlined it. Call Paul won for Michael Dubb and Gary Young, of course, ran well. Call a small field, kind of overwhelmed that group in the Newcastle. But so much. Hastings with graded stakes over the weekend. Woodbine, Mrs. Weber and Mike Trombetta, Global Access. Cassie yesterday in the Classy and Smart. She's the Berries and Delacour. Patrick Husband swept the graded stakes at Woodbine on Saturday, and then, of course, at Gulfstream, that rematch really didn't materialize. Liam's Lucky Charm versus Chancet. Liam's Lucky Charm was kind of late getting there. Chancet under Tyler Gaffleone for Safi Joseph. We talked about Chancet with Safi last week after Math Wizards Pennsylvania Derby upset, and Cassie and Gary Barber. 260, and this was a mild upset with Edgar Zayas in the My Dear Girl. So the two $400,000 FTBOAs, and Todd Pletcher and Zayas win the Wildcat Air, the other Florida Sire Series as well. There were races Saturday for both Rainbow Air and Wildcat Air. I love it. And then, of course, everything that happened at Remington. So we'll get to all of it. Not today, but we'll hit all the highlights. Shane Wilson is going to join us next. Mosito Rojo wins the Lucas, and we're going to talk to Jimmy Baker in a little bit and Phil D'Amato, Johnny D, top of the hour, and more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888. 938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence, but then you realize.
We're back at the races, about quarter to 10, hour one, recapping the weekend. And one of the really good stories that emerged out of the closing weekend at Churchill, Mosito Rojo, originally a $10,000 claim for Wayne Davis and Shane Wilson, and now a couple of different graded stake wins, and has just gotten better and better and progressively improved to this level. And Shane Wilson's responsible, and he joins us now. Shane, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
This is, you know, these are the best stories, because you pick out a horse and you and Wayne Davis, you've taken your time, and this is the result. I mean, talk about picking him out to begin with.
Well, you know, actually, I was working a horse one morning, and I had an older horse that had, he was a 4-year-old, had won a maiden allowance race, and I was wanting to put a set of blinkers on, so I was working him from the starting gate, and, you know, pretty decent horse, you know, half hours out of a good mare, and I worked him, and he just got blistered out of the gate by a chestnut colt, beat us maybe 5-6 lengths, and I clocked the winner running 5 furlongs in a minute and changed from the gate, and whenever he pulled up, I saw the saddle tally he had on. And so when I got home, I went and looked at the workout to figure out who it was. And I figured out it was a Kentucky bred, unraced horse bred by Van Doren and them. And I pulled up the mare, and the mare had been bred to the stallion one time, had a foal, made 125,000. So it was a foal to, you know, a horse that made 125. And so I put him on a list, and I called Mr. Davis and told him, you know, what had happened. And I said, you know, this is a big, good-looking chestnut colt, and he had outworked our older horse, and he's a 2-year-old non-starter. And I said, you know, if they run the horse for maiden tag, which the connections do a lot of times with the homebred horses that they have, I said, if we can get this horse for 20, he'd be well worth it. And we looked up a couple weeks later, and he was in for $10,000, and we got him.
That's tremendous. That's just great. And you know, the nice part about that is, at that point, he's a two-year-old, so you really, you can really develop him yourself from that point. It's not like claiming a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old.
Right, exactly. And you know, when we got him, he was shin sore, you know, and actually when I claimed him as the rider, it told me he felt a little rough. And the next day we x-rayed him, and he had a little stress fracture in one shin and had shin bucked in the other. So we actually claimed him in December, and we never ran him back until May, you know, of the next year. And that all goes back to Mr. Davis and his patience. You know, a lot of people would have claimed a 2-year-old for $10,000 with shins, and they would have, you know, worked on them, jammed them back in for $10,000. He was an impressive winner by 6 lengths, you know, and they'd have just blown him. But you know, Mr. Davis told me just to take my time. He said, you know, if you really like him, do whatever we need to do. And so he gave me from December to May, you know, to work and get him right. And we got him over the shins and everything, and you know, it's the rest is history. You know, but luckily he's owned by someone who's patient enough to give you a chance to do what you need to do, what's best for the animal, you know.
No doubt. And the interesting thing is that you know, it's not like you put him in allowance company right away either. You ran him back in May for 10,000 non-winners of two. And looking back, you gotta think to yourself you were fortunate that either Van Doren didn't take him back or that somebody else didn't reach in.
Right. Well, I just kind of, you know, you gotta play poker kind of with the claiming game. And, you know, I said, you know, whenever I took him for 10, I sat on him until May and now put him back in for 10. I said, the majority of people are going to look at it and they're going to say, you know, Shane got stuck with a bad one. He took him for 10 and is off for 5 months, and now he's got him back in for 10. So I thought it made it look like maybe I was hoping somebody would take him, and, you know, got lucky and nobody did.
Unbelievable. And, you know, from there, you really kind of spoon fed him throughout his 3-year-old year and into last year. And then he got into a steady drumbeat, that, you know, starting a dozen times last year, turning into the horse that he is.
Well, you know, he was eligible for the 10,000 starter allowance races. And, and Mr. Davis and everybody had, you know, like, why don't you step him up and let him try something else? You know, we won that A other than allowance condition, and but we still had the 10,000 starter allowance. You know, and as long as you had the 10,000 allowance starter races, I could run him in the starters and keep him protected. And at the same time, you know, it seemed like he was way better. He was running numbers. He was winning those races just easily. And so I thought, as long as he's eligible for the 10 starters, I'm gonna keep running him in the 10 starters. And at the same time, you know, he's winning, and you're building confidence in him. You know, and he's winning easily, and he's coming back good, and he's enjoying it. And you know, I think it had a lot to do with the way he turned out now, because we didn't just go from winning the A other than to jamming him in the stakes races and all that stuff and then having to, you know, try to get him back down. You know, we didn't throw him to the wolves. We just kept him running in those spots that he could win and win and win. And I think the more he won, the more confident he become. And, you know, now he goes up there and, you know, he puts it on the line every time. And, you know, he don't get beat very often.
He's won 16 for you guys in 24 starts with 3 seconds. You had some hint that he might like the grass too. You tried him once early and it didn't go great, but then you came back and you tried him again, and he has won on the grass now as well.
Yeah, you know, with his action, you know, and he's out of an orientate mare, and a lot of those orientate horses, it seemed like they take to the turf, even though they're Mount Livermore's, you know, they still run on the turf. And, you know, he has kind of a high knee action, and, you know, he looks like a horse that would really like the grass. But, you know, I've run him on the grass, and he'll run on it because of the competition. You know, he'll try to beat him. But if you look at his numbers, you know, his numbers on the dirt are way better. And, you know, when he's run on the turf, it just seems like he doesn't have an explosion. He kind of grinds and grinds. And we ran in a stake last year at Louisiana Downs, and he got beat a neck by Big Changes, which is a nice horse. He's a big ship and stakes winner, but if it had been on the dirt, we'd have run past him. You know, he made his move, and it's like he spins his wheels. He doesn't have near the same punch on the grass as he does turf. You know, I think he'd still run on it if he ran on it, but you know, to me, he doesn't look like he handles it as well. He labors more when he comes back, and you know, as good as he's been to me, I'm not going to put him in a spot on the grass anymore because he doesn't like it. He has to work too hard, and you know, so we're going to try to stay away from the grass and keep him where he likes to be.
Well, he also rates very kindly too. I mean, he's versatile, and you've tried him at different distances, and he adjusts. And one of the really fun parts of this story is Gerard Melançon rode him in his career debut, and then you put him on at Remington, and then at Churchill. So they're kind of reunited. He's been running, you know, Delta and Evangeline, and you know, you've run him a lot of places, Lone Star, and I mentioned Remington. To come up and win the Steve Sexton Mile, and now to win the Lucas, you know, two graded stakes, Shane. It's got to be really special to have a horse do this, and you know, to really be rewarded for patience and have your horsemanship, you know, kind of on display like this.
Yeah, you know, he was winning races at Delta, and when he went to Remington and got beat three quarters of a length last year. And you know, and I look a lot at the rag numbers and everything. You know, and his he was like, he actually, when he won the Delta Mile, which was a $100,000 race, he actually ran a lower rag number than the horse that won the Mineshaft, which was a Grade Three at the Fairground. And then I got to looking at, like, whenever the horse won the Oakland Handicap, and you know, you start looking at them, and they're running fives and sixes, and he's running twos and threes in these lower-level races, you know. And, you know, we're happy to win the $100,000 race, but when you get to looking at it, you think, man, I'm going to take a shot in one of them. And with the Steve Sexton, you had the New Orleans Handicap, you know, in the end of March, and you have the Oakland Handicap. And I figure those guys at Oakland Park are going to stay at Oakland for the Oakland Handicap. The guys in New Orleans are going to stay in New Orleans. You know, guys out in Santa Anita had a race at the same time. So I said, you know, if you're going to try a Grade Three, this might be the softest spot just because of the races that are running all over the country. Everybody can't be all in one place at one time. So we nominated, and it looked like our numbers really fit well there. And so we took a shot there, and then we wanted to come back and win the Evangeline Mile again. That's home. Mr. Davis has family close by, so he wanted to try to win that a second year in a row. And that actually turned out to be a really, really tough $100,000 race at Evangeline. There were three greatest stakes winners. You know, we beat two greatest stakes winners in the $100,000 at Evangeline. And, you know, then we come up here, and, you know, it's very rewarding, you know, like you said, because of the time we've taken, and we got to watch him grow and develop. And, you know, at the same time, you see him run, you see horses all the time that run numbers against weaker competition, but when you raise them up, they can't run that same number against better horses. And to see him be able to step up and actually run better numbers when he runs against better competition, now that's what's really rewarding, you know, for all the planning and, you know, the process of trying to get him there and have him ready. And then, you know, for him to do it, you know, it's just rewarding because as a person like myself, I deal with a lot of claiming horses. I don't have any big farms that send me, you know, babies every year. We got just all these great horses to choose from. We pretty much get what we get from, you know, buying cheap babies at the sale or claiming horses from other people. And, you know, I've always felt like if I had the opportunity, I could do the same thing that these other guys do with these big stables. I could win the big races too if I had the horses. And, you know, he's come along, and, you know, he's actually done it, you know. So instead of just, you know, always thinking, you know, I think I can compete with them if I had the animal, we've actually been able to do it and ship him around to all these different places. And, you know, the planning and the shipping and the process and his training, and we're getting it done, you know. And that to me is rewarding for myself, you know, to be able to see that, you know, I actually can do it, you know.
Exactly. And that's why it just, you know, it has to feel really special. I mean, to take one and mold it, and, you know, here he is as a mature 5-year-old, and he's still a horse, right?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. He's a horse.
He's a horse. And, he's not a gelding. Yeah. So who knows where this goes? You mentioned, you know, your own career, and you know, you've won 500 plus races in, I don't know what, maybe 10 years or so, 10, 12 years you've been training.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Talk about your background and talk about how you got on the track.
Well, you know what, it was. No one in my family ever worked with horses, and you know, I was a 15-year-old kid, grew up about 3 miles from Louisiana Downs and in Shreveport, in Bossier City, rather. And you know, I wanted to get a vehicle, and you know, my father told me if I wanted to get a vehicle, I had to get a job. And you know, I saw Louisiana Downs was there. I went down and sat on the gate one day and got a job hot walking horses for Jack Vanberg. And I worked out there every summer until football practice would start, you know, all through high school. And went to Louisiana Tech and tried to play football in college and wasn't going to make it there, you know. And so the only thing I'd ever done was work on the track. So whenever I came home from college, went back to the track and was lucky. I worked for a lot of really good people. I worked for Bobby Barnett and we worked for Jack Vanberg, worked for a guy named Jeff Jacobs, and spent 7 years with Sam David. We won the Kentucky Oaks with Blush and KD while I was assistant trainer for Sam David. After that, I went on my own and, borrowed $10,000 from the bank and bought feed tubs and saddles and started getting after it and started out with, you know, four horses, and I was grooming them, doing everything myself. And then I've been really blessed through the years. You know, I trained for John Franks, and I had 28 horses for Mr. Franks when he passed away. And, then I had a guy named Cheryl Rodder who bred a lot of horses in Louisiana. And you know, I've been fortunate. You know, I've had if I could have ever had all these guys all together at one time, I'd have had a really powerful stable. But it seemed like every time we lost somebody, somebody else came along. And I've been very blessed to be able to do, you know, what I love to do every day. You know, if you it's a lot of hours, but if you enjoy what you're doing, you don't ever really go to work. And, you know, I feel like that's the way it's been for me all these years. I've been blessed to have a wife that supports me. And I got two kids, and we put them through private school. Got one son, a freshman in college, an honor student, going to be a mechanical engineer. And we've been able to do all that through the thoroughbred business. And I feel very blessed. I know a lot of people get up every day and go do a job that they don't really like to do, but they don't have a choice. I've been really lucky to get to do this.
Wow. There's no better feeling. There's no better, storyline than this. And, I can remember you had a horse named, you had a filly named Blue Guru.
Yes.
That was a good horse for you going back. That had to be near the beginning when you were just getting started.
Yeah, I bought her off of a farm, actually. She was an 8-time starter and was still a maiden. And I had actually her father, El Prado, was leading fire in the world at that time. And I had an owner who was looking for a filly that maybe they could breed. And I run across this one. She was out of Tom Ross' mare that was a stakes winner. She'd actually produced the greatest stakes place horse in New York. And the people that had her wanted $10,000 for her. So we bought her and thought, you know, well, we'll try her running for 10. If she can't do that, then they could breed her. And actually, they had run her on the grass all the time, which made all the sense in the world. And I was Tom Ross' mare by El Prado. But I got her and ran her on the dirt sprinting, and she won. And I ran 50,000 going a mile on the dirt, and she won. And we won a couple allowance races. And she was a really, really quirky filly. And it took me a few times. She kept quitting the races, and we'd scope her, and she wouldn't bleed, and she was breathing fine. And I finally realized that whenever they would hit her, she would quit. She didn't want you to whip her. And once we started riding her and not whipping her, then we won the Delicato. We won the Matron. She ended up retiring with about $230,000 in earnings, and we bought her for $10,000. And she was a really fun filly. You know, I had a couple of people wanted to buy her, and they'd come to vet her out. She was very back at the knees, and you know, she had some leg issues. You know, so she took a lot of work to keep her going. But yeah, she was our first stakes winner, and then we had another one we claimed named Cross Eyed Devil. And Cross Eyed Devil made about 180 for us, and he was a champion 3-year-old at Louisiana Downs one year. Yeah. He was out of a claim. And, you know, we've had a couple of them through the years.
Well, but in fact, you trained some of Blue Guru's babies too.
Yes, yeah, I had Blue 42, and she didn't. You know, she was a very quirky filly. You know, so. You know, they decided to breed her, and I wasn't really sure, you know, what kind of mare she would be, because I really felt like a lot of the races that she won was just by the places that we chose to run her in. And, you know, she had a lot of bloodline, but she was, like I said, she was a really quirky filly, and, you know, she never really produced a whole lot. She had a stakes place horse made, you know, $130,000 or something. I think it's about her best foal, but she was a good runner for us.
I love it. Well, what have you thought about you and Mr. Davis talked since Saturday night? What are the thoughts with Mocito?
He actually got back to Delta Downs this morning. We shipped back in from last night, and we're gonna regroup here. They have the Delta Mile over here, which would be his second time winning that. It's 100,000. They have a race at Churchill right after Thanksgiving, and that's a big one up there.
Clark.
We might think about that. And the Clark, Ben Huffman, the racing secretary at Churchill. He came by and told me, he said, "Man, you got to at least nominate and look at it." The way he ran a mile and eighth over this racetrack and the time he ran and everything. Yeah, 97 Buyer, and 115 East Beach Higger. He said he thought it was definitely worth looking at. So we'll nominate to that. But I really think what we're going to plan on is we can sit there at Delta, and I'm 2 hours from, I'm 4 hours from the fairgrounds there, about 7 hours from Oaklawn. And if you look at it from January to the 1st of May, Oaklawn gives away about 2.4 million for older horses going around the ground. They got a grade three, they got a grade two, and they got a couple of them that aren't even graded. And then the fairgrounds has Tenacious, the Louisiana Stakes, the Mineshaft, and then the New Orleans Handicap. And then back in April, we also have Steve Sexton again. So, I think we may try to run one more time in November and then take December off and start looking the next year, and we're going to try to be in whichever spot looks the best for us between Oaklawn and the fairgrounds, and then try to hit the Steve Sexton again in April.
Well, he's well over 700,000. He's approaching 800,000 in earnings. He's tracking to be a millionaire, and it's helped you have your second best year so far as a trainer. And Shane, I couldn't wait to talk to you. I knew, from just sort of tracking this horse and I bet him. It's funny that he doesn't get, for whatever reason, he just never seems to go favored. No matter, he's won five straight and he never gets bet. It's crazy.
That's what I couldn't understand the other night, because to me, everybody looks at everything different, but I handicapped the race and, I figured, we're gonna have, we're going to have the four and the seven on the lead, and it looked like we should get a great – he loves to stalk and pounce. He can go to the front. If nobody will go, he'll go. But, he gets lesser numbers when he goes. And if they got a lot of speed, he can come from last. But if he gets his trip where he wants to be, he likes to sit about third or fourth and just looking in on the other horses. And he's got enough cruising speed that he can stay close to them, and then he can take off before the big closers can come. And – it looked to me like it set up perfect for us and Silver Dust. And, Silver Dust had just run his career highest number. He ran a three on the rags. We'd run the three a couple of times. And I thought, it looked to me like it was a two-horse race. And then when I get to the paddock, Silver Dust was 8-1 and we were 10-1. And I was like, man, they're not gonna play this horse again tonight either. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine with me, though. I like to play him a little bit, so...
Absolutely. Well, and I did too, and put him on top, and I was amazed that we got almost 9-1. Mocito Rojo, the Mutata, 5-year-old Shane Wilson, and G Money Gerard Melançon win the Lucas Classic. A great night at Churchill for you, Shane, and everybody. Well done, and look forward to talking more.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Not at all. Shane Wilson, who, obviously knows his way around a horse and knows his way around how to pick them and how to develop them, what to do at the claiming box. And you heard about 9 different tricks of the trade and what goes into being a success in this game. Johnny D's been a success at the game for 30 years, longer than he cares to admit. He's going to join us next. We'll talk about the crazy situation Saturday. Another takedown in the Rainbow Six. And this one was different because it wasn't like there were $40 horses. There was one favorite and 5 others. There were all the rest were fourth and fifth choices, and the fields weren't even that big. And the fields were pretty mundane. There's a story here. The ticket was a big ticket, a $230 ticket at 20 cents. So, you know, there was a sizable investment. I'm really looking forward to Johnny's thoughts on this. The winners were $13.60, $11.40, $11.40, $220, $30. That was the tough horse in the fifth leg, and $13.80. Field size of 7 by 8 by 8 by 11 by 6 by 9. It didn't feel like it was a sequence that could get taken down, but, you know, with one favorite, the more favorites get beaten. But I think the fact that you had, you know, wasn't second and third choices that were beating the favorites, fourth and fifth choices. We'll see what Johnny thinks. And also the Stronach 5 from Friday, which had the carryover, and then all the great action. Johnny D next. Phil D'Amato in a little bit as well. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. At least that's the way the story goes. Frankie bought everything for Johnny, from his sports car to his Ivy League clothes. Oh, he was a man, all right. Oh, but he was doing a wrong. Just to show you what can happen, a friend came running to Frankie.
We're back in the race.